many of our people are having it rough financially. And I want to talk to you this morning. I was trying to figure out how to get the attention of the crowd. So I said, I'll just say, I want to talk especially this morning to everybody having it rough financially. That'll get everybody's attention. And these are rather crisis days for numbers of our people. I have a compassion this morning, and I mean a sincere compassion for those of you that are having it tough. Many of you are unemployed, and it's rather difficult. You've been looking and looking and looking and trying to find work, and a lot of you are having it tough this morning. Numbers of you of our people, citizens of Hammond, been here for years, all of a sudden have found yourself without work, and you've never faced this before. You're in the middle years, and nobody's looking for a middle-aged recruit to go to work for the first time. And men, professional people, for the first time in all of our lives, we hear such thing as you're overtrained. We won't hire you because you have too much education, too much experience, too much training. You'd leave us if we hired you. And so a fellow who's prepared for a lifetime, all of a sudden, can't get a job in his own chosen field. Can't even get a job sweeping out the place because they say, well, you'll leave us after a while. You're overtrained. And many of our people, and my heart hurts because of your problems. And then many of your widows, and you have it hard all the time financially. Social Security is not enough to take care of your needs, and prices going up, inflation, and interest rates, and rent, the standard procedure, standard thing. Everything goes up. You lease it once a year. Lease goes up every year. Always going up all the time. And the going's getting rough. And number of you college students had a lot of tough time paying your bills, and you don't know how you're going to stay in school. I want to just sort of encourage your heart. I guess I should never feel this way. But the other day, I was picked up a Dallas Times Herald, my hometown newspaper, and saw the picture of Bobby Folsom. Bobby Folsom. He and I used to play basketball against each other when I played for Bowden Story Junior High School. He played for Griner Junior High School. And Bob Folsom, there's a picture up there. Mayor of Dallas. Mayor. Filthy rich. Everybody's rich is filthy as far as I'm concerned, but filthy rich. Mayor of Dallas. And I got to thinking, I wonder, if I'd tried to make money, could I have some? And if I'd have gone into politics, like an active, I guess all of us wonder sometimes. Bobby Folsom. Little guy fouled me on purpose one time, and the referee didn't even call it. And they won the game. Yeah. And I was robbed. And Bobby Folsom, used to play softball with him in the city softball league during the summertime. I struck the guy out dozens of times. Mayor of Dallas. Multi-millionaire. Me. Not even a hundred-air. I think I'm a ten-air, but multi-millionaire. And I got to thinking about how he must live. And I got thinking about what I've got laid away for a rainy day. I got enough laid away for a rainy day if it just sprinkles a few minutes. And nobody got thinking about it. And I played that.
I played?
Okay, fine. I'll be sure I played. I'm going to get God on this now. I'm going to get started without Him. And but anyway, I picked up the paper and saw a guy in the paper, an article about him, how well he was doing. James McKeever. He and I went to high school together. He had half his face sort of paralyzed a little bit. Nobody ever took him seriously. The paper I picked up was a little financial sheet, like the Dunlap report or something, and it's the McKeever report by this multimillionaire. James McKeever. He's the millionaire. Well, listen, we chose upside to play softball. If we had 19 fellas, he didn't get play. Chose nine on either side, and then he was the 19th. Yeah, everybody, you remember those days. I'll choose this one,
I'll choose this one. And you were the guy waited and waited and waited and waited. Then they chose all the girls, and then they chose you, you know. And that was Jane McKeever. And he was Russell Anderson. Russell Anderson brought him here. Had gone to a lecture to hear James McKeever tell him how to make money. James McKeever! Threw like that. Batted like that. Threw a basketball like that. Multi-millionaire teaching Russell Anderson how to make money. Turned on the news, sports news, same week. Saw a guy on the set I used to play football with when I was a kid. He used to meet on a Saturday and play a bunch of Highland Park guys. I lived in Trinity Heights. We used to call it Chinchy Heights. And that's another name for bed bugs. And Chinchy is what we call bed bugs. You ever hear that term before? Chinchy? And we called it Chinchy Heights. We lived way out in the sticks. And across the town was a place called Highland Park where all rich folks lived. Silk Stocking Lane. We used to meet them in a vacant lot and play football. Little old kid there I used to play football with every Saturday morning. Saw him on television the other day. Bobby Lane. Became the quarterback for the Detroit Lions. Pittsburgh Steelers. said, the guy's a wealthy rancher out in West Texas. Said he's got more money than he can count. And some of you folks have more money than you can count too, but you can't count very high. But Bobby Lane. And told him, how much money? Bobby Lane. Always tackled above the waist. Never tackle away all the tackle. Grab you around the neck, twist your head off. And I got thinking, Bobby Folsom, mayor of Dallas. Bobby Lane, Hall of Fame football player. And then there was Doak Walker. Used to play softball against Doak Walker. Became an All-American 3 years in a row. A Heisman Trophy winner in his junior year in college. Now he's out in Colorado. Owns a bunch of those mountains out there probably. Filthy rich. I got $250 in the bank. James McKeever. Leroy Howard. Wealthy. Bobby Folsom. Bobby Lane. I got thinking. I got thumbing through the Bible. And I've been wanting to preach on a certain passage for a long time. The wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Boy, I love that. Think about that one. Think that one through a minute. Hey, the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. I saw this guy the other day on airplanes. He had a big ring on. Looked like he was made out of about 10 carats, you know. It cost a heap of lettuce, I'll tell you. And about 10 carat ring. And I looked at it and I said this. I got off the airplane. I said, take care of my ring. I've had this scripture in my desk drawer. The wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. I've had it in my desk drawer for months now, wanting to preach on it. And I couldn't find the right time until I thought about Bobby Lane, Bobby Folsom, Doak Walker, James McKeever, and Leroy Howard, and all those guys, and got looking at the balance in my bank book and so forth. And I thought, the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. And she said, what do you mean? And I told her the scripture. I said, that ring is mine. I'm going to let you wear it for a while, but I said, take good care of my ring. I got off a 747 plane the other day, and I said to the pilot, take care of my plane. He said, what? I said, take care of my plane. He said, what do you mean? I said, it's my plane. Take care of it. He said, your plane? Yeah. Mine? He said, well, is it your name? I said, no, it's my father's name, but I'm going to inherit it. Yeah. I'm not as poor as you think I am. I'm not as poor as I look either. And by the way, neither are you. And this morning what I want to do just for a while is I want to just sort of stir you up a bit and remind you that you're not poor. You just, all your money is tied up right now. You see, you got it invested in long-term notes. But don't forget that scripture. The wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Squeeze that one real tight. When your bill comes due at the college and you can't pay it, just hang on to Proverbs 13, number 22. The wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Yeah. I was in a bank not long ago. As I left the bank, I told the president, I said, take care of a bank. What? Take care of a bank. What do you mean? Take care of money. I said, keep that guy watching that vault because that money's mine. I said, now you can use it till I get ready for it. You see, the only thing I'm waiting for is for the will to be open and read, that's all. You've seen these reels, you know. I will to my wife, who's a multimillionaire, will to my wife, $1.95. I will to my son, who's giving me all kinds of trouble, $1.75. I will to the custodian, $10,744, you know. That's sort of the way we are. Yeah. The wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. I lost in the Bible study. I just started studying the Bible. I lost in the study, and I got to go into the Bible and all the places where and I saw something beautiful in the life of Abraham. God said to Abraham, he said, I am your exceeding great reward. Somebody asked the other day, he said, how did you feel on the airplane sitting between John Byler and Jack DeCosta? Two multimillionaires. I felt like they were very fortunate. You said, does it intimidate you? No, they both carried my bag. I got to the airport. I said, Jack took this one. John took this one. They're going to listen to this. They remember it. First place, they're both tremendous fellows. They don't make you feel ill at ease at all. They're just good, solid Christian believers, soul winners. Both of them witnesses, soul winners. But in the second place, I'm very wealthy. Just tied up for a while. I got to think of Abraham. Look at Genesis chapter 13. Just open your Bible to Genesis chapter 13. And verse number 5. Genesis 13 and verse number 5. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. That word also means Abraham was rich and Lot was rich. Lot was his nephew. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great. Notice that now. Notice that. The land was not able to bear them. Why? Because their substance was great. Anytime your substance gets great, it's harder to get along with each other. People get wealthy. They get harder to get along with. Harder to please. And so the substance is great. It goes on to say in verse number 8, and Abraham said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between thee and me. Abraham said, look, Lot, let's don't have any trouble. I like Abraham. He was the guy that made Lot rich. When Lot was a little kid, a little boy, Abraham took Lot, his nephew, into his home and said, Lot, I'm going to let you live with me. And he fed him and clothed him and gave him a place to live. And then Lot learned how to make money, and he made money. Abraham made money. And one day, Abraham's servants and Lot's servants couldn't get along with each other. And so Abraham said, look, let's don't have any strife. I wish everybody in the world said that. Let's don't fuss with each other. Folks only have one life to live. Let's don't spend time fussing. And so Abraham said in verse 10, and Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. Lot said, boy, that's good land there. It's well watered. And he goes on to say, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, it was like the garden of Eden. Lot said, boy, that's pretty country. It's like the garden of Eden. And like the land of Egypt, as thou camest unto Zoar. And Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. So what happened? Abraham said, Lot, let's don't have any fuss now. All this land belongs to us. You just, we'll separate. You just choose what you want. I'll take what's left. And Lot said, I want that well-watered stuff. I want that Garden of Eden. I want that tropical area. I want that area that looks like Hawaii or looks like the Caribbean. I want that Nassau-looking area. I want the beautiful, good climate and the beautiful trees and the place where you can make a lot of money. And Abraham was left with the bunch of rocks and stones of Judea. But never dawned on me until recently. Look down to verse 14. Now, Lot's already got the good land, but in verse 14, and the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated. Now, look at me a minute. Did Lot have the good land or bad land? Good land. Pretty land or ugly land? Yeah. Did he have the tropics or the rocks and stones? The tropics. And here's Abraham, and Lot has his. Well, I like verse 14. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. Look at verse 17. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. God said, Abraham, Lot just thinks he owns that land. He said, it's yours. And after Lot had taken the best, Abraham, God said, Abraham, it's yours. Listen, let the wealthy, did you ever wonder why the folks down the street you get along so well? They drive a big Lincoln Continentals, got to have hinges on between the two doors, and big 1981 Lincoln Continental, and you ride that little old bug, you drive 1932 Dodson, and it will not get to heaven because the Bible says rust does not enter into heaven. And you drive it, do you ever pull that little thing, chug-a-lug, 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 you vibrate in the car. And the people down the street, they drink their liquor and use filthy language and read their dirty magazines, and that car is sitting there on Sunday morning while you go to church and they get along well. And you know, don't feel too bad about it. They just borrowed your money for a while. You ever wonder why some people never go to church, never read their Bible, never serve God, and yet things seem to turn to gold? And you have problems and you lost your job and you can't pay your bill? And you're sincere, you read your Bible and you pray, you ever wonder? Don't be too upset about that. It's still yours. They're just using it for a while. Brother Al, the kid about me owning your house, that big house he has out there on Highway 30, all over town. Hiles owns that house. That's Hiles' house. And I don't own it. If I did, I'd dead sure rent it to desirable tenants, I'll tell you for sure. Somebody said, hey, it's not. It's in Gomez's name. Yeah, I know, but Hiles owns it, and he's just got Gomez as a cover man. It's really his. It's just in Al's name. It's really his. They're
not far from home. Not from right. Yeah. I may live in it. Who knows? Yeah. I love to relive that story. You've heard it 1,000 times. I love to relive it. I went out to O'Harefield one Wednesday night to go to Bob Jones University to preach, and got on the airplane. Barely made it in time to catch the airplane. Little lady sat beside me, had the prettiest black sweater on, cashmere sweater you ever saw in your life. She had a pin, a diamond pin, a sun with one big diamond, and a bunch of sunbursts, the rays of sun, four little diamonds going out. And she had on a diamond ring on her finger that looked, oh, good night. But her hair was rolled up. I couldn't understand why her hair was rolled up. And not like you rolled up now. You rolled up little bitty things, you know, and clip it. But you do it with number two cans all over your head. But she was sitting there, and I'm from Texas, and so I said, "Hello, how are you tonight?" And there was only a seat left, and so I felt led to take it. So I sat there, and I went off to sleep, and we flew to Cincinnati, Ohio. And when I woke up, when the wheels hit the landing strip, runway in Cincinnati. We had to stay there for a while and fly on to Atlanta, Georgia, and I was preaching at Bob Jones University the next morning. So I woke up and it hit the runway, and she looked at me and she said, "Mister, how could you do what you did?" And I said, "What do you mean?" She said, "How could you do what you did while you were asleep?" I thought, oh my soul, what in the world did I do while I was asleep? And I said, "Ma'am, quick, what did I do?" And she said, "We've been in a storm." She said, "This plane is turned all over." And folks have been screaming and crying, and people have been praying out loud. And one stewardess locked herself in the restroom and said, "We've all had to put our heads in our pillows, you know, in the airplane. If you have trouble, you put your head in your pillow like that." And she said, "Been crying out loud, and folks been screaming." She said, "You've been snoring all the way sleeping." She said, "Only person on the plane. How could you do it?" And I said, "Two reasons." I said, "In the first place, I fly 150,000 miles a year on these planes. I'm as comfortable in an airplane as you are at your kitchen sink." I said, "In the second place," I said, "my father owns this airplane." And she said, "Your father owns this airplane?" I said, "Yes, ma'am, he owns the Delta Airlines." She sat up in her seat and she said, "You mean your father owns the Delta Airlines and you're the heir of all the Delta millions?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." I said, "He owns Delta, Eastern, and American." She looked at me as her ring turned to glass and she said, "You mean your father owns American, Eastern, and Delta Airlines?" I said, "Yes, ma'am. And Continental, and Braniff, and United." She looked at me as her diamond pen evaporated, and she said, "You mean your father owns Braniff and Continental and United and Delta and what was the other one? And Braniff, Eastern?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." "And he owns Piedmont and Allegheny and Western." She looked at me as her sweater unraveled, and she said to me, she said, "You mean your father owns all Niles Airlines?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." She looked at me as her hair fell, and she said, "You mean your father?" She screams aloud, "Who is your father?" Don't ask a fundamental preacher that on the airplane. I told her that my father is the Heavenly Father. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills, the wealth in every mine. He owns the gold, the rocks and rills, the sun and stars that shine. Wonderful riches more than tongue can tell, and he's my father, so they're mine as well. And I'll never forget that night. She screamed. We were taken off in Cincinnati then. She screamed. So folks stood up to see what was going on. She said, "Mister," she told me a sad story. How her husband had left her. She worked his way through college, Howard College, and he was the manager of the manufacturing and mining, M&M Company, in Racine, Wisconsin. And she didn't have any money, and he had left her that very day. They're rushing her down to her sister's house in Atlanta, Georgia, because her sister was a Christian. And that's why she had her hair rolled up. They just rushed her down. She pulled her sleeve up like that and showed me where her wrist had been slashed. And she said, "I don't want to live." She said, "I don't want to live." And then she screamed and hollered. And everybody could hear it. She said, "Mister, I know what you are. You're a reverend. That's what you are. You're a reverend." And I said, "I'm more than a reverend. I'm a Christian. I'm saved. And God's my father." And she screamed and she said, "Tell me quick, mister, does your God love me too? Does your God love me too?" And I said, "Oh, yes, he loves you. Wonderful story of love. Tell it to me again. Wonderful story of love. Wake the immortal strain. Angel with rapture announce it, and shepherds with wonder receive it. Sinner, oh, won't you believe it? Wonderful story of love." And 28,000 feet in the air, she became the heiress of Delta and Eastern and American and United and Braniff and Continental and Allegheny and Piedmont and Western. And you didn't think I could think of all those, did you? And I didn't either. And, that's right. I know you're having it tough.
I know. Okay, I know it.
People line up outside my door.
"How can I keep my children in school? I know. I know it's rough."
"But hang on just for a while. The bonds are going to come due before long."
"The wealth
of the sinner is laid up for the just." Yeah. You know, over the house. "I feel uncomfortable around rich people." Oh, you do? You get nervous around me, huh? Now, save rich people, fine. But unconverted rich people just using our money for a while, that's all.
I mean, there's I like to drive out in Munster in certain areas out there and out to some beautiful $2,000 and $3,000 and $400,000 homes. Say, "Why you do it?"
"I want to see what I'm going to be living in for long."
The wealth of the sinner laid up for the just.
Yeah. Just a matter of time, little widow. One of these days, the Lord God's going to give you what's yours. Last week, we all sort of pitched in a little bit, and my mother and sister got new carpet for their apartment, and it's very, very nice. Mother won't stumble now. She had rugs, but she'd trip over the rugs. And Erlene's getting up in years too, and she's having the same problem. and come to think of it, I tripped over a few times myself, I got looking at it as I drove off. I said to myself, "I wish I could give my mother what she deserves. I wish I could put her up in the kind of place she ought to live in." And I got thinking, just a few days, she should be there. This world's not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue.
I know, with the all scouring now. Yeah, we're sort of nutty. Yeah, we're the poor white trash. We're the ones that write the articles about letters to the editors. All these Baptists.
Somebody said last summer, said the Baptists and Johnson grass taking over this area. Well, let's cut down the Johnson grass.
Yeah, sure. Years ago, when I came here 21 and a half years ago, back of every car on the dash, you had a St. Christopher. On the back, had a hula dancer. Now, 21 and a half years. It's always a bumper sticker said, you better get born again, you're going to hell. Or get out of the United Nations. Or I hate Madeline Murray O'Hara. You know what I mean? Something like that. And, we're white trash now. Or black trash. Poor. Common? Yeah. Let me read you a scripture. You don't have to turn to it, but let me read you a scripture. I'm going to encourage your heart just a little bit here. And here it is. It says, we are unknown, yet well-known. Unknown down here, but well-known up there. It says, we are dying, and behold, we live. They say, oh, man alive, those people. Such a dead life. Behold, we live. You're the dead one. Yeah. Yeah, you're the dead one. I'm going to say this tonight. Demas forsook Paul. Yeah. Demas went to Thessalonica. Lived it up. He said, I'm tired of this old-fashioned preacher. I'm tired of this old guy. He's getting old anyhow. And they're going to kill the guy. I better get out of here while they're getting this good. He forsook Paul. He had a big life. What'd Paul do? He stayed there in jail. Wrote part of the most of the New Testament while he was there. Say, poor Paul. Not poor Paul. Poor Demas. How many folks in this morning named Paul? Yeah, fine. All Paul, raise your, keep your hands up. All the Tims, raise your hand. Tim or Timothy, raise your hand. Look at there. House full of them. Put your hands down. All the fellows named Demas, raise your hand. All the Demas. Where are you, Dean? Yeah, no Demas. Yeah. Don't you feel sorry for us, buddy. We take it over one of these days. I was down in the bank one time in this area. I'm trying to borrow $5,000. And the banker told me I couldn't have the money. And I said, you don't give me that money. I said, you will starve to death when I take over this bank. He said, when are you taking over this bank? I said, during the millennium. That's when I'm taking over this bank. He said, what's the millennium? I said, get your vice presidents in there in that conference room and your secretaries, and I'll teach you some Bible. We went over and sat down, and I got the head of that conference table. The president's bank got there, his vice president, and 25 employees gathered on the table. We had a Bible study. I taught them about the time when King Jesus would stand on Mount Zion and rule as King of Kings. And I told them about the time that Moscow wouldn't be the world capital, and Washington wouldn't, and London wouldn't, and Rome wouldn't, but Jerusalem would. I told them about the time when the Christian shall rule the world, and when the lion shall lie down with the lamb, the little child shall get a lion for Christmas and place the whole of the cock at Christ dead. And I said, the Bible says that the Christians are going to rule and reign. I'm not kidding about that. I'm not just preaching. I'm not just trying to get somebody out of whoopee. I'm telling you the ever-living truth, buddy. The day is going to come when the city of Hammond is going to run. The mayor and the council and the school board will run this town by Christian people. They will settle those places. We won't have any Playboy magazine. We'll outlaw them. So what you going to do if somebody sells one? Put them in jail for life. Yeah. Oh, you say fantasy. No, the Bible says that the saints of God shall rule the world. Say, how soon? Could be as close as 7 years away. We've got to go up to heaven for 7 years and have a little training. After all, I hate to lie to rule this whole state now without some training. It'll take him up 7 years and he's going to tell him how to. You know, if I'm the mayor of a town, I'll put you in jail. If Live is the mayor and you break a rule, they'll give you demerits. Three swats. I told that banker, I said, the day is going to come when some people are going to reign over 10 cities and some Christians over 5 cities and some over 2 cities. But I said, I've asked God for 1 city. That's Hammond, Indiana. And I said, I'll run this town one day. You mark it down. Isles for mayor. Yeah. Yeah. Elected by acclamation. No, elected by divine appointment. Yeah. And I said, Mr. Banker, I said, you're going to walk in. I'll take over this bank then. And you'll walk in and say, I want to borrow $5,000. And I'll say, sorry about that. And I said, buddy, if I don't walk out of this bank with $5,000 in a few minutes, you're going to starve in a millennium. I'll guarantee you. He jumped up, and as loud as he could, he screamed to his secretary and hit the desk, the table, and said, quick, write Reverend Howells a check for $5,000, please. Oh, listen, I know.
Can't find a job.
In those days, you'd be in charge of the personnel department. A bunch of these folks selling these dirty Playboy magazines would be pounding the streets hunting for work. And these guys said,
all you're going to do is on a job. Well, how are you Bible-toting Baptist?
You better employ us now, buddy. Or we won't employ you when you come asking us for a job. Yeah. I'm saying, beloved friends, the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. I love that scripture in Numbers 18:20, I think it is. Where it says, God said to the Levites were the tribe of Levi. They didn't have any inheritance in the promised land. When the Jews got the promised land, they gave the tribe of Issachar a place, and the tribe of Asher a place, the tribe of Zebulun some land. They gave the tribe of Benjamin some land. All the 11 tribes got some land. And Levi said, "Where's ours?" And God said, "You don't get any land." And the Levites said, whoa, we don't get any land. What's our inheritance? And God said, "I am thine inheritance." Now listen to me for a minute. I wouldn't trade the walk I have with Jesus for Bobby Folsom's job as mayor in Dallas. I wouldn't trade the sweet fellowship I've known through these years and the closeness of God. I wouldn't trade that for Bobby Lane's Hall of Fame. Our lives take some strange twists. I didn't know when that little guy was tackling me on the vacant lot. I didn't know I was being tackled by a Hall of Fame football player. When that guy fouled me and the referee didn't call it, and I got mad and wanted to hit him, I didn't know I was the mayor of Dallas. I didn't know that.
I didn't know little James McKeever, we wouldn't choose him to play baseball. We chose up sides.
I didn't know he was a multi-millionaire. If I'd known that, I'd have chosen him first. I didn't know that. I wouldn't take place with one of them. With the off-scouring? Yeah. Unknown? Yeah, but well-known.
Poor?
Yeah, but make many rich.
Deceivers?
Yeah, to some, but we have the truth of God. And all the wealth of the world is being laid up for us. I want to say this. I come back to the motel room at night, and I'm not sad. I don't think I spend over 2 or 3 sad moments a year. I rarely ever get melancholy. maybe on holidays sometimes if I'm gone, I may get a little bit melancholy, not often. But I come back in the room many times at night, and I've been waiting in a pastor's study while everybody fellowships and chats and everything. And I sometimes try to figure out what to do, and sometimes after the service I'll wait up in front and 4 or 5 folks come by and shake my hand, and then I try to act like I'm busy. I try to change my Bible a little bit, do like that a little bit, you know. And somebody come take me back to my room, and I get out of the car and go to the room. And there are times I wish maybe I didn't have to spend so much of my life in a motel. But I get back to my room, and I hear the Lord say, "I'm your inheritance. I'm your inheritance. Folks, I want more than anything else for you. I want you to have a personal relationship with God. I want you to know Him. I've been teaching these sermons, the messages, or Bible lessons on the Holy Spirit because I want you to get to know Him personally."
I mean, okay, let the heathen rage.
Let them stack up their money. They're not going to intimidate me. Governor Bowen, governor of this state, came to our church one day. As a guest, he spoke a few words. And then the next night, he spoke at the Civic Center at Pastor School. And Mayor Klein, who was mayor of Hammond then, and when it was over, Mayor Klein came up and he said, Reverend House, he said, "You know what the governor said?" And I said, "What?" He said, "The governor said, you're the only man he ever met that intimidates him. He said, he's nervous around you." He said, "How does it feel to be have the governor of the state nervous around you?" Well, I said, "I don't think it's unusual." I said, for the governor to be intimidated around the future governor? Once it was the blessing, now it is the Lord. Once it was the healing, now it is His Word. Once His gifts I wanted, now the giver owned. Once I sought for healing, now Himself alone. All in all is Jesus. Of Jesus will I sing. Everything is Jesus. And Jesus is everything. Don't crawl in the corner somewhere and say, oh, I'm going to make it. Oh, my, can't make ends meet. Less you spend now, what are you going to have when you become millionaires? I'm looking this morning to the widows. Valentine's. The banquets. And your daughter's going to wear a little hand-me-down dress or one on sale at Goodwill. And you'd love to have money to buy her a good dress. I don't blame you. I remember my sister graduated from high school. I had three dresses. Baccalaureate dress, a senior day dress, and a commencement dress. My mother went down to Miss Jones's house and borrowed $10. And she made three dresses for $10. For the Lively. I was praying this week. Oh, God, take care of our needs. Lord, supply the needs of the church. I prayed for the school teachers at the school. And I said, oh, Lord, somehow help us to be able to give them a raise and pay them some more money. And I was praying. And one day it dawned on me. I've lived like this all these years. All these years. I'd like to have maybe 6 months where everything's paid for. Got plenty of money. Oh, we're over our budget, and we're in the black. I think the church is 74 cents in the black, and the college is 98 cents in the black. And it seems like I have to just pray it down all the time. Well, thank God I can still pray it down. I wish you knew how God answers prayer. I wish I had time to tell you this morning the way God supplies the needs of this church. I wish you knew. But I got thinking. I wish maybe sometime we'd have plenty of money just for a while so I could just go to bed at night and say, plenty of money in the bank, nothing to fret about, nothing to worry about. Maybe that's not for me. Talking to Kirk Tom Malone place not long ago. He told how, what else make a visit? Up in the attic of my house. Want a guy to Christ? The guy gave him hundreds of thousands of dollars. Everybody I went to Christ, I got to bail him out of jail before I get him to walk the aisle and get baptized. Yeah, look at me, though. Look at me carefully. You're looking at a future multimillionaire. You're looking at Mr. Reagan? I didn't say this, but I could have when I walked out of the White House not long ago. Jimmy, take good care of it for me. Yeah, I'll be back. I should return. Buck up, O people of God. God's your Father. Jesus is your Savior. Holy Spirit's your Comforter. Heaven's your home. The Bible's your textbook and rule book. The second coming of Christ is your hope. You're not just, okay, let them laugh at you and make fun. I understand that. Yeah, let them go. Let them go ahead. But you're somebody. You're an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You want to have some fun this afternoon? I'm going to close. That'd make that fun, wouldn't it? But you want to have some fun this afternoon? Just go over here and park in front of the Hoosier Bank and look at it and laugh. Yeah, I'll get you. Yeah. Go out in some real pretty, leave your little mobile home 4 foot by 2 foot. After you finish eating your McDonald's and drive out to the real where the Ritzy live. Drive out that house I own on Highway 30. I'm renting to the Gomez's. Drive out to the real Ritzy area and laugh and laugh and laugh. See anybody come out of it, laugh at them. Yeah, that's mine. Take good care of it. That's mine. Go down to the jewelry store and look in the window. Look at all the diamonds. That's what I do. Yeah. They're mine. They're mine! But that isn't all. Something better than that. The one who made them is mine. I've been preaching over a third of a century. I've seen a lot of battles. I thought about Milliken's burning last night. It reminded me of the fire we had here. I've seen a heap of battles. I've shed a lot of tears. I've spent a lot of lonely nights like you have. I want to tell you something, folks. I wouldn't trade it for anything because of the fact that He has been my inheritance. I've come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. And He walks with me and He talks with me and He tells me I am His own. And the joys we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He loves me. I'm His child. And all the wealth of the world is laid up for me. Don't give up. Don't turn back. Don't despair, little widow. Don't despair. You're rich. It's just going to be a few days before it becomes yours. Father,